This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard as we discuss this Eagles team and what's next. We had a parade on Friday. That's the immediate. We got a parade on Friday. You ready for Friday, Hugh?
No.
What do you mean?
I mean, I'm not. I mean, but I will be.
You got to get your mind right. It's party time.
No, not yet. I got a couple days.
Okay. I think most of the city's ready.
I got parent-teacher conference tomorrow. I got to do that first.
Oh, okay. One step at a time. You make it sound like you're the teacher.
No, I got parent-teacher conference.
He's got to meet with all the parents.
Yeah. That'd be a party.
Yeah, that would. All right, before we go any further with our conversation on the phone lines, let's get to a guest here. Our next guest, Seth Joyner.
Yes, that's sponsored by BetParks Online Casino Sportsbook app. New users get up to $1,000 casino bonus back. BetParks.com for details. Must be 21 in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, or Michigan. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
Seth, how we doing, Seth?
Seth!
Couldn't be doing any better, man. Are you kidding me?
The Eagles are champions, Seth, and they did it. Let's talk about how they did it, Seth, because I could picture you with a smile on your face watching the way they won that Super Bowl, because that was
a curb stomp.
That was as good of a defensive performance in a big game as I've ever seen. Seth, take us inside as you watched it, what you were thinking, especially early when they were dominating up front.
Wow, it's funny because I had Ray Dillinger on my pre- and post-game show this past week for the Super Bowl, and we're sitting there watching the game, and he turns and he looks at me at one point. He was like, is this really happening? It was really, really funny the way he said it, you know. I think we all were shocked. I'm one of those people that I had no doubt that they were going to win the game, but I didn't see a beatdown like that. Good Lord. I mean, that's the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, with potentially the greatest coach of all time and potentially the greatest quarterback of all time. And the Eagles just made them look, you know, they made them look very average, you know, not only from a team standpoint, but from the superstar you know, head coach, offensive coordinator, the defensive coordinator, right down to, you know, the quarterback that was on the field, he looked average.
Well, he did, and it was one of the worst we've ever seen him in a big game. I mean, they usually score and are in all these games. He so rarely gets blown out, Seth. And what was amazing to me was, if you had told me before the game that, let's say, Jalen Carter would have had an amazing game and been the MVP, I should have said, okay, that you know, he's a great player. But with Seth, I couldn't have predicted how it was all of them. It wasn't just him. It was Milton Williams. It was Jalix Hunt. It was Josh Sweat. It was Ojomo. Whoever Vic put out there, it was like a wave of pressure unlike anything I've ever seen. That's what impressed me so much, that there wasn't just one guy. It was all of them.
Well, a lot of times, you know, in Super Bowls, it is that way. It's some other guy. You know, one of the guys that you don't anticipate, you know, first of all, with Patrick Mahomes, I'll say this. This, to me, is why, you know, I always preach pressure, pressure, pressure. You got to come up with creative blitzes. You got to speed up quarterbacks' clocks. Because the one thing that pressure does, it is the great equalizer when it comes to great quarterbacks. And I don't care who you are, when I speed you up, and I make you uncomfortable, and I make you have happy feet and come off that first read, that pressure is kryptonite to every quarterback, and I don't care who you are. I mean, I played against some of the great quarterbacks, greatest quarterback to ever play the game, and when we put pressure on them, we made them look average, okay? So just to get back to, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there before we move on, but to get back to, you know, it's a total team effort. I was saying all week, you know, I did a lot of interviews on a lot of different, you know, outlets leading up to the Super Bowl. And of course, everybody thought I was crazy. They thought I was being a homer. I said, listen, you know, you've got Patrick Mahomes, who arguably at some point may go down as the greatest quarterback that the NFL has ever seen. You got Andy Reid, you know, speaks for himself, what he's accomplished, you know, greatest, could be the greatest head coach ever. And you got potentially, you know, somewhere down the road, you know, top five, top three defensive coordinators in Steve Spagnuolo. I said, and you got Chris Brown on the defensive side of the ball. I said, the thing is, two of those people ain't going to step foot on the field, and they can't do nothing but strategize from the sideline. I said, the Eagles have a team. And give me a team over two or three players any day of the week. Now, I didn't know they was going to drag them through the mud like they drug them through the mud. But good Lord, you know, a team always wins, man, especially, you know, when you're as balanced as the Philadelphia Eagles are. And they've been that way all season long. We just need to see them do it in the Super Bowl to come to the realization that that's who they really are.
You know, Seth, I'm curious because you talk about the defensive line, man. They got pressure with four, and they got pressure almost immediately. My question to you is this. Have you ever seen anything like that? I know you play with Reggie. You play with Reggie and Jerome, and those guys got after the quarterback. Have you ever seen anything that so immediate?
Yeah. We went down to Dallas and sacked Troy Aikman 11 times in one game.
I asked you because I knew you, I was. That's what I was trying to do.
I mean, I've seen it before, but it's just the plan. Because, listen, we ain't never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't never seen it before.
Not from this group. We haven't seen that, you know, this year.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest question marks all season long was, in big games, especially against a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, would you be able to generate pressure? Would you be able to, you know, disrupt him? And that answer, you know, was, well, we don't know. We'll see, you know. And what you saw on Sunday night, man, was just, they had a plan, bro. They had a plan. I drew it up on my whiteboard on my podcast last night. And when I really thought about it, you know, when you talk about rush lane discipline and all those types of things and trying to create that pocket where you don't let the quarterback escape, your defensive ends and your edge rushers not getting too high on the quarterback and allowing him to step through that tackle, that defensive end gap, man, the defensive ends, Hugh, lined up and they went in a wide nine. Them fools is in like a wide 11.
Yeah, they were, you know, they were getting after it.
And they were just, you know, on the snap of the ball, they was going at the outside shoulder, and it was all bull rush, okay? There was no, oh, I'm trying to get around you. I'm trying to get around the edge. I'm trying to dip the shoulder. No. It was just, okay, we're going to take the outside shoulder, and we're going to bull rush these fools every single play. And then our defensive tackles, you know, one of them's going to be doubled, the other one's going to be singled up. But we just going to maintain our lanes, and we just going to push, push, push. So when you do that, you shrink Patrick Mahomes' ability to step up in, into the pocket. But what happens with your defensive ends when they don't just go willy-nilly up the field and allow him to escape? When he goes to step up, there's nowhere to go. You know, so and they were just getting just high enough where the offensive tackle couldn't even tell how high they were. So now all of a sudden when you fall back inside and Patrick Mahomes ain't got nowhere to go, it's just a feeding frenzy, man. I mean, they created the blueprint for how to beat Patrick Mahomes and how to pressure him. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs going to have to restructure their whole offensive line this offseason. Because if they don't get that right, every single team in the National Football League is going to play them that way. And, I mean, listen, we got some good pass rushers. But there's some elite guys out there, and there's some teams out there that if they just stop trying to get the hell around the edge and do what we just did on Sunday.
Punch them in the mouth.
Yeah, they cause a lot of problems for Kansas City. And I said last week, you know, Kansas City is a hybrid team because when they really want to play smash-mouth football, they bring in those extra linemen, extra tight ends, and they can run the ball downhill. But at their core, they're a finesse football team. And how do you beat a finesse football team? You hit them in the mouth. And with Vic Fangio being an old-school, you know, type coach, that's exactly the type of game plan that he put together. Cooper DeJean up jamming Travis Kelce at the line of scrimmage, just frustrating the hell out of him. I'm telling you, man, it was masterful to watch. Masterful.
Master.
It was incredible. It's an all-time performance by a defense that belongs in that category. All right, Seth, let's go to the other side of the ball and how they did it. What impressed you the most about how Jalen Hurts played in this game? Yeah, well, what about him? Because, Seth, look, he was great. Statistically, he was great with the eye test. But to me, it was his poise. It felt like whenever Spagnuolo threw a blitz at him, he saw it. He threw it. The Dotson throw early, I was like, oh, he's on point today. He saw the blitz. He got rid of the ball. I thought it was in a season where he had, you know, four or five great games, I thought it was a masterclass in quarterback play. What impressed you the most?
Listen, he was impressive in the NFC Championship game, and he was even more impressive, you know, Sunday in the Super Bowl. The one thing that Jalen Hurts is, you know, and I've been saying it for a long time, the kid is just a winner. And he plays bigger the moment and the bigger the game is. You know, now, we could talk about his statistics and all of those types of things, you know, but the kid just wins, man. You know, and you can complain about his stats, you know, his passing yards. You know, we fail to realize that the plan this year was to run the football. Run the football to win the football game. Your defense is playing so well, you don't have to put the ball in harm's way. He had a bunch of turnovers the first four games. They came back after the bye and decided, hey, we're going to run the football. We're going to throw it when we need to. He averaged 21 passes per game. And still completed over 70%. Now, the numbers weren't there, but look at the 16 wins in the last 17 games, man. You know, so, and next year may look different. Next year they may come out, he may throw the ball 30, 35 times a game. But this is the way that they had to win this year, you know, and people just couldn't get themselves comfortable, you know, with the old school way of winning football games. But guess what? They're Super Bowl champions. So don't nobody give a damn about what you thought or what you think about our quarterback. Because guess what? He hung out with Mickey Mouse this, you know, on Monday. Not Patrick Mahomes. Okay?
Yes, he did.
So
he did.
At the end of the day, he is a winner. Okay? He may not say all the things that you like. He may not play the way that you want him to play. But what he does is he shows up in big-time games, and he makes big-time plays, and he has outperformed the great Patrick Mahomes in two Super Bowls. Two. And if we had Vic Fangio as a defensive coordinator, we'd have three Super Bowl championships, not just two.
No, that's what you call – I call that a dynasty. That's when you can use that word, dynasty.
Well, we can start thinking about it.
And they're on their way. They're on their way.
He said they're on their way.
That means he's thinking about it. They're on their way.
They are on their way because think about it. You know, this is my thought about Kellen Moore. I thought Kellen Moore made the most egregious mistake. Now, I get it. The money, the opportunity, you got to do it. But his ass is going to be fired down there in New Orleans in the next 2 years because he walked into an impossible situation, and he's not going to succeed down there with what they have and what their problems are. Mm. He could have stayed here another year, and they could have potentially won another Super Bowl. Listen, they're still in a window, man.
Yeah.
They're going to win another Super Bowl, maybe two in the next 2 to 3 years, the way they're constructed, because they are a physical team in an era where you play soft finesse football. And they're going to keep dominating and beating people down. Listen, dare I say, because, you know, when we heard this, we all chuckled. You know, dare I say that this might be the new normal? Dare I say that this might be the gold standard for the next 3 to 5 years? Because I'm telling you right now, the guys on the defensive side of the ball are only going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
And don't let them mess around and let us figure out how to get Myles Garrett. Can you imagine him?
Yeah, he had grown ass,
Carter
man.
On the same, and Nolan Smith all on the defensive line. Just like Vince Carter said, with the throat cut, it will be over.
Game
you
on.
Know what I'm saying? And on the offensive side of the ball, all of those guys are locked in. Hurts is on his franchise deal. You just re-upped A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You just re-upped Jordan Mailata and Landon Dickerson. Your center's on his rookie contract. It looks as though we're probably going to get Becton back, because for his sanity and mental health, this is probably the best place for him to be. He had one foot in the league and one out, and look how we revived him. And we know what Lane's going to do. Who the hell's going to stop us, man?
No one. I mean, it's that if they play the way they did in the last 2 weeks and they carry it over, they're the favorite. I mean, they're the favorite again to win next year, rightfully so. Seth, loved talking to you all year and having you on the show. We appreciate it. Enjoy a little relaxing time now that this thing is over, and enjoy watching and celebrating the parade, right? Thank you, Seth.
Not yet, boy. I got to make that trip down the road to victory. You know what that is, right? Down Broad, up JFK, into the Art Museum, baby.
Love it, Seth. We appreciate it. We'll talk
soon.
See
you there, brother.
See you Friday.
All right.
There he goes. Seth Joyner, ready for a parade. And it sounds to me like Seth's ready for a dynasty.
He's getting ready for it. Yeah.
He was laying the groundwork for a dynasty. 215-592-9494. We appreciate Seth all year long being part of the show. Coming up 12:15, we'll talk to Brian Dawkins at 1 o'clock, Elliott Shore Parks. And we discuss, here's it too early to start thinking about an Eagles dynasty. I don't think it is. Hugh does. Where do you come down? Of course, the AJ post. The way Seth was describing that, and when he mentioned the idea of getting Myles Garrett, which is going to be a big topic this offseason, boy. Myles Garrett, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith.
That sounds like a good time.
I mean, good luck trying to score points on that defense. Let's go to Mike on the cell is up. Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, what's up, pal?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Mike.
Hey,
what's up?
You know what? What a great time for the Delaware Valley. I mean, I have had a smile across my face since 10:30 at night, Sunday night. But, you know, Joe, you're talking about dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
I think just inched up the repeat. And I think the thing that triggered that is that power ranking by ESPN. That's got to be hanging up in the locker room right now.
Oh, when they put them four,
really?
Yeah.
They're
the
four?
The 2025, the too early, way too early 2025 power rankings. They have the Eagles at fourth, which is funny, Mike, because they are over at FanDuel. They're the favorite to win the Super Bowl. So something's off there. It doesn't make much sense to me.
They read Twitter.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing, too, and you guys haven't talked about it yet, is would you agree that this was the best Eagles game ever?
So, I mean, look, the other option would be Super Bowl 52, right? Like the 41-33 win, the drama of it, the Philly special, Foles, all that. And that was the first one. But in terms of just like from start to finish dominance and play, yeah, it's the most dominant Eagles victory considering the stage and the opponent in the history of the franchise, Mike. I would say that.
I would agree. And then lastly, on AJ's post, how many rings does Justin Jefferson have?
That'd
He's got
be...
a lot of stats, but how many rings does he have?
Zero.
That's it.
So, like, what
Game
do you
over.
What do you mean by that? Like, he
yeah,
should.
What does that mean, you know, exactly, Mike?
This is a team sport, right? And, you know, the team really won this for the team and everybody here. It's not an individual sport here. So I have a little bit of an issue with that post here, a little bit. So,
I don't think you're the only one. Yeah, Mike, I get that. And, Mike, we appreciate the phone call. It's a bizarre post. I mean, we call it for what it was.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's fun. Like, people are saying it reading too much into it. No, I'm reading exactly what I'm interpreting it the way I see it, like most people are. You know, everything that we do as far as social media is concerned is done for a reason. And, you know, when I thought about it and I thought about my position on this, I workshopped it. And I'm like, okay, my first thought was, why now? We haven't even went down Broad Street yet. Mm-hmm. And that could be interpreted as controversy. I didn't do enough. You can say what you want to say. I didn't contribute enough to the win. You contributed everything to that win because it's a team sport. See, I'm old school, and I know that, and I know that the way that I think might be antiquated, and most people might not feel that way. But I didn't play a whole lot in the Super Bowl that we lost, but I was a part of that team, even though my contribution was not as great as a Brian Dawkins contribution or a Terrell Owens contribution. I was a part of that. And I will forever walk with those guys. And not for one minute. Only thing I wish I could have done was done it in my prime. That's the only regret that I have. To sit there and say, and part of this, I'll be honest, part of this is maybe because, and the way I feel is maybe because I didn't win it and you did, and this should be the greatest moment of your life. And for you to say that in that moment, I need you to explain to me why it was imperative for you to send that tweet out 2 days after the fact.
Yeah, and I look, in this case, it's AJ, but I think to your point here, this illustrates why it's so hard to keep winning, right?
Yes.
Because there are 53 players, and some of these guys will change. AJ obviously will be here. But to keep everyone locked into the same goal all the time. You brought up early in the show, we actually should give Sirianni more credit for the management of all this. That actually, I think, over the years is probably the most impressive thing about what Bill Belichick and the Patriots did. Not that X's and O's, that he could...
To maintain that level of excellence.
Of focus for 2 decades. Nobody
yes.
does that. Like, that's what now the Eagles have to try to do this. And now, I think they have everything else set up to do it, but that's going to be a challenge.
And that's what I'm talking about, Joe. It's to be able to maintain that, to keep that focus. Because I could argue that you were focused until that point. Because looking at and this is where you could accuse me of reading into it too much, but AJ was sat on the sideline, he read his book, he was content until after they won. Now, you know, you haven't said a whole lot on Twitter, you've been really, really quiet, and you take that moment. That's why you have to maintain focus, man. That's how I look at it.
So like to that point though. If that was really his intention to say that he prefers when he's dominating individually, then like that's what makes it hard to believe that he would find it appropriate to put that out there 2 days after the Super Bowl. Like that's crazy. If that was really his intention, that's why I think he did it poorly, but he's just trying to convey, like, you know, the work doesn't stop type thing.
Which is good. And I expect him to work his butt off this offseason. I expect him to come back in great shape. Like, he's a very driven athlete. But the question is, can they all row the same direction again and again?
Or how about saying it like this, Kyle? The next one we win, I plan on contributing a little bit more.
Yeah, like, because we could have said it 20 different ways that would be better.
Everything, like, my part in that Super Bowl that we went to might not have been as big, but I had a part. I was a part of that.
And there's satisfaction that came from
it. Yes, it was. I was a part of that. And I, because a lot of people talk about how we lost the game and all that other stuff. You know, I don't look at it that way. We lost that game. You see what I'm saying?
I get it, yeah.
I don't say, because, you know, you got a famous drop of me saying five threw up, and that I thought
you
about.
You did say it.
I did, you know, but it was a joking moment.
Five threw up!
Thank you, Kyle. We lost that game. We lost that game as a group.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's my old school antiquated way of thinking about it. And so that's why when I read it, I just like, I just want to have the parade. This is what I want, and it's not going to happen. I just want to go down Broad Street with a bottle of Uncle Nears, man.
Well, I told you, pour people shots. That's all o'clock, I want to do that Friday. Leave the show and be our correspondent.
I want to make new friends on Valentine's Day.
Well, that's a separate thing. You got to worry about that.
If he had just posted that caption.
Not so much males.
He was looking for a date, everyone.
I'm kidding. These are jokes.
215-592-9494. We'll get back to all your phone calls coming up. We're talking dynasty here. Is it too early to say the D word? And I don't think it is. It's very appropriate. It's not too early for the D. The D word is dynasty today. It's not too early.
It's going to hit different on Valentine's Day.
They got wood heart.
If you keep doing that, it's going to
definitely
hit different.
Especially with that drop. It really is. All right. We're talking dynasty here. And speaking of a team that once upon a time, like decades ago, knew what a dynasty is, you got to hear what the Cowboys are talking about right now.
There's a
different D word. It's called delusion. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The final stretch of the NBA regular season is heating up. Get in on all the action at the ESPN Bet Sportsbook. You can bet overs and unders. And you can bet assists and rebounds. I'm going to get on top of that. And you can bet the point spread. And you can bet. And new ESPN Bet Sportsbook customers can get $10 to get $100 in bonus bets and unlock 30 days of ESPN Plus. Download the app and sign up with promo code RADIO100 to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Talking about that D word today. And it's okay to say it. It's okay to say it out loud. It's okay to think it. It's okay to have a conversation about it. The dynasty word. I mean, it's okay. The Eagles won one. They've been to two out of the last three. They're set up with a great roster. They're set up with the best executive in the NFL. And all, in fact, in my mind, all of sports. That's how good Howie Roseman is. And I don't think it's too early to think about the dynasty word. Hugh does referencing, you know, some of the idea of, are these all guys going to be rowing in the same direction next year? And A.J. Brown's...
Got to row in the same direction.
You
dog.
Have to. Instagram post, which direction. was different, but typical of A.J. All right. So D, I think today stands for dynasty, but in some places it stands for delusion. So Dak Prescott, doing a great thing yesterday. He was at a children's cancer fund raising money, but they put a microphone in front of him and asked him about the Eagles winning. And of course, Dak's going to answer and give a take on it. So here's Dak Prescott yesterday, and this word is what you call delusion.
Eagles just did. How far are you guys away from that level?
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close, especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC championship. And those two teams that, that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And, as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see them, to see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
I don't know what my favorite part of that is, Hugh. It's our turn, it's on us, or him saying, like, you know, we kind of beat them all the time, even
live
though...
Live your truth, Dak. Live your truth, Dakota. You know what's funny? And you know, and I know Petty Monday's over.
It's Wednesday now.
It's Wednesday. I mean, I can always do Petty Wednesday, but I thought about his brother. I don't know his brother's name, but I remember his brother. And I almost went on the Instagram and the social media last night. I almost went looking for him. Because I remember one time he was talking about Jalen Hurts and he called him a glorified running back.
Mm.
And I wanted, you know, it's a lot. I go on there and I want to be petty, but I don't, you know, I don't want
to
put
it out there.
I'm trying to be a grown up in this thing. But I wanted to say, dog, how do you feel that glorified quarterback got a Super Bowl ring and your brother doesn't?
Super Bowl MVP, too.
Yes, yes.
As a quarterback.
Yes. Dakota can believe what he wants to believe. You know, because that's what belief is. You know, believing that you could do something that nobody else believes you could do. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but boy, that's a hard road to hoe.
You have got to be smoking something.
Yeah, it's a hard road to hoe, man.
The part that's most ironic is he's talking about doing great things. Dakota and the whole, they're going to be lost in this. Like, they're not even a fly on the wall of the conversation in this era. Like, think about it. It's the Eagles. It's the Chiefs. And then you think about the other great quarterbacks that are kind of close, right? The Lamars, the Allens.
I thought we were going to stay in the division. It's the Eagles.
It's Jaden.
It's the Commodores, the commodities.
They're about to come on now, yeah.
And it's probably, and it's a toss-up between the Cowboys and the Giants, to
at
be honest,
bottom.
At the bottom of the division.
They're just,
come on, bro.
They're in like when next year starts, when we rev up next season. They're not even in the conversation. I mean, what is he talking about? Like, I know he's not going to be honest, but like when I just think of the NFC next year, it's the Eagles, it's Detroit, it'll be Green Bay again, it'll be Washington, it'll be probably San Francisco bouncing back. Like, I have to like spend an hour before I even think about the Cowboys. He's nuts.
The check the record thing was crazy
nuts.
In its own right. But like, I think the most poetic thing about the whole thing is that he's talking about two teams in the NFC Championship game, a game that the Cowboys haven't been to 30 in
years.
30 years.
Since VCRs was hot.
The one team that was behind them in that, the Commanders,
yeah, they're there now.
Got drafted a quarterback and immediately went to the NFC Championship game. Like it makes him look way worse.
I could probably name 12 NFC teams that I think have a better chance than they do. I mean, 12, and with the Eagles at the top. It's a different D word. It's total delusion. 215-592-9494. Is it too early to start thinking about a dynasty? I don't think it is. Hugh is trying to, I don't know, he's trying to keep us like grounded here
today.
Well,
it's not so much I'm trying to keep you grounded. It's just the way I look at it.
Because, just not a real Eagles fan, you know?
No, because you know what's funny? Yeah, that
who was
right
our
there.
Caller the other day?
It was Cunningham.
Cunningham. Yeah. Like, they'll win every
classic.
Game.
No.
Always. Every game. Super Bowls every year.
And if you don't think so, not a real fan.
That was funny.
That's crazy.
Let's go to Chuck in Mannery. Hey, Chuck.
What up, Joe? What's going on? What up, Hugh?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Chuck.
The great 48 hours.
great 48 hours, man. I can't wait to the Super Bowl parade on Friday. Again, hey Joe, that was a blowout, wasn't it? Wasn't that a good game?
It was stomping. I mean, from the moment that game started, Chuck, it took me like a quarter and a half. When Coop returned the interception, I sat there. I was like, it's over. Like they are dominating the team that people thought they couldn't dominate. It was awesome.
Yeah, that hit that that Milton Williams and Jalen Carter.
Oh yeah,
I thought he was dead after that. And I thought he got folded like a chair. You know what I mean?
But, he did.
Yeah, listen, we called it, Joe. We felt it in our guts. People tried to talk us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it wasn't going to be close. You know, this team, you know, the Chiefs walked on that field like they was, you know, going to be given that three-peat. We walked on that field, and they didn't know what hit them. And I just felt that in my soul, man. So, man, hats off to the Eagles. Great, great job, man. Do I see a dynasty? No, I see a repeat. You know, I don't know what dynasty is. I mean, I know, but I know I think we can definitely go back next year and win it again next year with this team the way it's constructed.
Yeah, I think they can. But, Chuck, they remind me in a lot of ways between Jalen and the defense. But, they remind me of that Seahawks team about 10 years ago that got to the back-to-back, and if it wasn't for the interception in the end zone, they would have won. But I would not be surprised at all if we're doing this again next February. Same thing.
Yeah, but this A.J. Brown thing, you know, A.J. is a malcontent. This thing is... It's really starting to, you know, it's hitting the surface. And, you know, A.J. calls himself a, you know, good guy and a team guy, but he's not selfless, man. You know, he just won a Super Bowl. And everybody, you know, the Chiefs, the Patriots, those teams that always went back, they always was on one accord. They were all equally yoked. You can't have this, man. And I understand, and I love A.J. He's a terrific player. He's a player that'll never be satisfied. Because I don't know what it is with him, man. I don't know if it's a mental thing, a jealousy thing. I don't know what it is, man. See, Saquon Barkley didn't affect the game physically on Sunday. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the ghost of Saquon Barkley that affected the game. And he was okay with that. You know, they had prepared for Saquon all week, you know. And come to find out, they stopped him. But it was other players that killed the Chiefs. So it was the ghost of Saquon that allowed the Eagles to do what they was able to do. AJ, for you to say you didn't feel part of the team, I didn't quite hear the tweet. I just heard you guys talking about it. It's just ridiculous to me, man. I love AJ Brown. I think he's a terrific player. He's my favorite wide receiver in football. But you can't win when you have a player in the locker room like that. You just can't. So something has to give, man. And I called this before the Super Bowl even came around. I said if they lost, one of those two guys are going to be a Jalen or AJ Brown. I thought if they won the Super Bowl, maybe they would be able to sweep this under the rug. But I see it start to surface again because one player just wants to have individual stats, which I understand, but championships is not going to satisfy a guy like that until later in life, until later in his career when you look back and say, you know what, I was really fortunate to be on a football team like this. But do I see a team repeating? Yeah, if they all on the same record.
Well, that's the big thing. Yeah, and Chuck, good phone call, man, Chuck, as always. So I'll read through the Instagram again that Hugh had referenced earlier in the show in case, you know, you've heard us talk about it, but you're like, what are they saying? So A.J. Brown put up a post last night, and I'll read the whole thing just so you have context, okay? Quote, after a few days, I've had time to reflect on being a champion. I tried to feel how everyone made it seem to be a champion, and unfortunately, it was short-lived. 2 days to be exact, LOL. I've never been a champion at the highest level before, but I thought my hard work would be justified by winning it all. It wasn't. My thrill for this game comes from when I dominate. It's the hunt that does it for me. It's when the DB drops his head and surrender because he can't F with me. The intense battles, early mornings, late nights, sacrifice. I love putting smiles on people's faces. Don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't what I thought it would be. It's the journey that I love most, back to work. So you could look, you could interpret that any way. For me, I think AJ realized it's something called the arrival fallacy. I think he thought he was driven by winning, and I think he now realizes that isn't really his why. His why is dominating, and that's okay. I mean, look, he helped them win by having that kind of perspective. But look, so Chuck said they can't win like this, or they already did. They did win with him, mm-hmm. and he's a great player. But the question is, can Sirianni and Howie and Jalen get them all on the same page again? Because that's how dynasties are won. It's not just talent. Like, every team that wins a Super Bowl, Hugh, theoretically can win the next one and the one after that, right? They're loaded. And yeah. There's no bad teams that win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But it's all doing it again and rowing in the
you
same
have
direction.
You have to be locked in, man.
Yeah.
And you can't be divisive. You can't. And I'm not saying he is, but he controls the narrative in this situation. And the narrative right now is because of things that have happened in the past, that he's a little bit of a malcontent. You know, we know AJ is wired different. And we know that he's very high, he's highly emotional. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But when you leave because of who you are and how you're perceived, you leave a lot for interpretation. And I just feel like this was not the time for you to share that feeling on social media.
So don't you think, like, because I'm reading this whole thing again, if he had literally left out this one sentence, the "when I dominate" thing? Yeah, the my thrill for this game comes when I dominate. If he left that out, the entire post is, I think, to be interpreted by everybody in the way that he just is ready to get back to work, and he likes the journey rather than the destination. I just think it was a mistake for him to put that part in.
It's not a mistake, Kyle.
Well, I think it was.
Kyle,
I really
listen,
do.
This is the one thing that we have to stop doing is making excuses for grown-ass folks who've been in this situation before that know what his voice and his power has. A.J. Brown, he hasn't been in this situation. Didn't he call in to Ike and those guys a year ago? Trying to defend his position?
No, right, but
Because he was misinterpreted?
But that's sort of, yeah, well, that's where
how
I'm coming from. He felt that he was misinterpreted.
If I say something, it has a chance to be misinterpreted. How many times do I have to write something out before I stop doing it?
Okay, but Hugh, you're a smart guy, and you're wiser.
And so he's
because
dumb?
In your old age. I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm saying sometimes he makes mistakes.
I caught that, Joe. He hit me with the old man.
Well, is it not true? Hugh, you were a different person when you were younger. You were a player.
Let me clean it up. You've matured.
Yeah, like come on.
I cannot argue.
Okay,
that.
AJ Brown is younger than me.
But
you think I get emotional back here?
Yes, you do.
Let me slice this down the middle, though. I do give a little bit more leeway when it's...
I appreciate him calling me old.
No, that was great. I give a little more leeway in a press conference or when a microphone's in front of you, because we do this every day. Sometimes things come out a little bit differently than I mean them. Or maybe I'll come across stronger than I want to. Like it happens, right? We talk every day. We have a microphone in front of us. It's live. So sometimes I let a player have a little bit of like...
Grace. You give him grace.
He typed that.
That's what I'm saying.
And he hit send. Like, and guess what? There's also an edit button. There's also a delete button. So I'm not mad that he said it. I think he's being honest.
It is his truth, but...
You did say it about the truth.
It's his truth.
It's his truth.
But you leave it open to interpretation.
Well, and he makes you wonder, are they able to get everyone again next year, do it again? I think they can, and I think they're set up, but this is certainly part of the whole conversation.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've had a lot of people that have chimed in, and they feel the way that you feel, Kyle. It's like, well, everybody reads it differently. But there's a lot of people that feel the same way that you feel. My thing is this. There's a time and a place for everything.
Mm.
And you have to be able to read the room. There's a lot of times, and you've seen it, Joe, on my face, where I want to say certain things, and I'm like, yeah, I might not land that plane the way that I think I'm going to land.
And then you realize you're old now. And
yeah,
you're back
yeah. And then, you know, me being as old as I am and Kyle not being as so much younger than me, that kind of kicks in too. He called me old on the air, dog. He called me old people on the air.
Yeah.
He's like, because you're just old.
I mean, I don't know if you realize how old you were until today, but you're old, man. Let's go to RC in Glen Mills. What's up, RC?
All right, we ain't going to long talk this, man. You're an old soul. You ain't old. But he did call you old folks on this.
He called me old, dog.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Hugh got called Pop-Up Douglas on the air today. It happened.
I fall asleep when I go out.
I listen to you guys a lot because of my job, but I usually call in to rip Spike and his stance on Jalen. I call those guys because Spike is crazy with his stance on Jalen. But here's what I want to say to you, Hugh. And Joe, it was 10 hours ago, AJ's post, correct?
Mm-hmm.
10 hours ago.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday that AJ is, he's a wide receiver. I'm not saying they're all divas, but he wants to be coddled. He wants to be celebrated. He wants people's arms around him, telling him how great he is. What wasn't he a part of yesterday?
Jimmy Fallon. You know, RC, I didn't think about that. You're right.
I did, but I didn't put it out there.
No, I love. You're right, because Jalen and Saquon were there. And,
I did.
And RC, I think if we
and
could,
the O-line.
And the O-line. Like, if AJ had 150 yards receiving, he's probably invited.
Correct. But he and Devontae did their job. They're probably the best wide receiver combo in the league. But they weren't – he's not celebrated. Devontae is a quiet – late. The man was crying after his touchdown on the sideline. AJ is that alpha male wide receiver that this league is used to having. And he didn't get celebrated. But if you really read the post, it's like a roller coaster. Like Kyle said, oh, if you take out one line. Well, if you take out another line, Kyle, it looks this way. And it was all about that. And the Josh Sweat thing, hey, you, we ain't going to long talk, but Josh Sweat trying to get paid.
No, yeah. I caught that. That's why, you know what, to be honest, RC, that's why he ain't catching that much heat, because he probably won't be here. He going to get that bread.
Ain't gonna be here. We going to get Miles Garrett. Sweat's going to go get, what, 30 million you, 40 million?
Yeah, he about to go get paid, though. He about to get paid. He going to probably be playing in Cleveland or something like that. Yeah, oh, he might go to Houston. He might go to the Texans.
Sure.
Yeah, and the dynasty thing, Joe, the dynasty thing, okay? Here's the difference, and here's what we are dealing with, because you've called him the greatest the best general manager in sports, mm-hmm. not just in football.
Yep.
Here's what we're dealing with, okay? Let's think about the last two dynasties. They talked about Brady. They talked about Belichick. They talked about Gronk. They talked about Brewski. Four guys, no offensive line, no defensive line. Then you go to Kansas City. It's Travis. It's Mahomes. It's Andy. We are dealing with a team. Go ahead and pick somebody. Put all their names in a hat. You, Kyle, Joe. Could we celebrate every single person on this team? Are they the most dominant and most talented team in the NFL by far? We got superstars, guys.
Yeah,
we
do. You're right. It's all over. It's not just one guy. And Howie is so good at smoothing those cap numbers out. RC, we appreciate that. They're going to keep a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
The fact that we can even entertain the idea they will trade for Myles Garrett shows how good Howie is. Because typically, if you have this many good players, I feel like other teams would be like, well, they don't have the cap space, right? Like,
yeah, they don't have the money. They can't make the move.
They paid a quarterback. They paid two receivers. They have this. Like, they paid a running back. They paid the O-line. There's no way they could actually go and get Myles Garrett. I think there's a real chance they get Myles Garrett. Now, I'm not saying it's a lock. Other teams might outbid them, whatever. We'll see what happens.
But out of the realm of possibility when it comes to Howie.
I would give it a decent shot they get Myles Garrett. A decent shot. I mean, that tells you how good Howie is, because most champions, like, they're maxed out with cap space.
So we're basically just going to be the Dodgers of the NFL when we do that.
That sounds good to me. I mean, like, that team, if we're anything close to the Dodgers of the NFL, that means we're going back to more of these very, very soon. And look, the Dodgers might be becoming a dynasty. Hopefully not, but they could be. Ken and Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey, Ken.
What's going on, Ken?
So first of all, because there's a lot to unpack here, they're already the Dodgers of the NFL. They make the playoffs every year. So, I mean, you can't win the Super Bowl without making the playoffs. They make the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Sweat's not going to be here next year, so I don't really worry too much about that. And this whole notion, like, so many people on WIP and in the local media and even in the national media spent the last 7 or 8 weeks of the season this year looking for the evidence that this is where the collapse that happened last year, this is where it starts. And it started with AJ with the passing game, but there was all kinds of stuff where people were saying, ah, see, here it comes. And it did. So here's the bottom line with AJ. I think you have to, first of all, you have to recognize that Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni in particular, they know what's in AJ's heart. We don't, right? They know him better than we do. And, you know, Nick Sirianni is a master at managing these egos. I mean, just look at the Super Bowl. Look at the game itself. Where, you know, 1 minute they show a little clip of him, you know, screaming back at AJ when he's coming off the field on the incompletion on the blitz, and then 5 minutes later they show him yucking it up and hugging it up with AJ on the sidelines after AJ caught his touchdown pass, and he's got, oh, by the way, he's got inter excellence in his hands. So there's a reason why a guy like A.J. Brown feels like he needs to carry inner excellence around with him on the sidelines, and it's stuff like that post from last night. The most important words in that post are, time to get back to work. And I think you would want to hear that, and I feel actually really good about the fact that you've got your star wide receiver saying, look, I thought my hunger was going to be satisfied when I got my hands on that Vince Lombardi trophy, and I'm still starving. It didn't do anything for me. It was like eating Chinese food. I'm hungry an hour later. So I have no problem with it whatsoever, and we've got to get over this, the PTSD of what happened at the end of 2023 to the point where we're always afraid that that's right around the corner. Like, I use it as an example. My parents were both born and grew up during the Depression. So regardless of how financially secure my parents got as they grew into their adulthood and went on with their lives, and they got very, very financially secure, my mother was always convinced that abject poverty was right around the corner because of the fact that all of her experiences as a child were colored by the Depression. That's the impact that 2023 collapse is going to have on an entire generation of Eagles fans, that no matter how good things are, there's disaster right around the corner.
But Ken, let me interject just a little bit, because I remember a quote that said, if you forget about the past, you're doomed to repeat it. So and I know you were talking about your mother, and is it safe to say because she felt that way, you never had to worry about poverty again?
Absolutely.
So you know what? I think that she was on to something, because you know what? I'm the same way. I grew up broke, and you might call me cheap, but I'd be damned if I'd be broke again. So I don't think that that's a bad thing. I hear what you're saying, and you know, we got PTSD and all the other stuff, but isn't it better to, if you see something coming, to try to avoid it as best you possibly can?
I think his analogy was interesting. Your response is interesting. I also think there's something to not just 23, the dynasty conversation and all this. Let's be real. And I mentioned yesterday, I heard it on the morning show, and we repeated on our show yesterday. Fandom in this city, people aren't used to this. Like, if the Eagles become the next dynasty, it's not normal, right? Like, we realized yesterday, four players in this city in 50 years have gotten a chance to win two rings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this kind of stuff doesn't happen around here very often, right? This isn't the New England area where they had parade after parade. So, mm-hmm. Like, dealing with and thinking through dynasty and the pitfalls, it's not normal, so we got to get used to it if it even is going to happen. 215-592-9494. We'll keep taking your phone calls all day on this. Hugh is telling me to slow my roll a little bit here with all the D-talk. I'm saying no. I think it's okay to talk about a dynasty. I don't think it's too early to talk about it. You can react to A.J. Brown's post and your interpretation. Remember, B-Doc, Brian Dawkins joins us at 12:15, and we have to play a funny clip from Nick Wright and who confronted him about one of his Eagles takes. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tasty Cake has a treat for every John. They got peanut butter fans' favorite in candy cakes, the chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. If you like the simple classic, they have the crimpets. They are light sponge cake topped with rich icing. Donut lovers, they have choices for days. You got frosted mini donuts. You got powdered mini donuts. And you can't forget the delicious dipping stick flavors. I mean, there are so many unique, satisfying treats to choose from, but that's no surprise because it's Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. We're talking about that D word today, and it's okay to say it. It's okay to say it out loud. It's okay to think it. It's okay to have a conversation about it. The dynasty word. I mean, it's okay. The Eagles won one. They've been to two out of the last three. They're set up with a great roster. They're set up with the best executive in the NFL. And all, in fact, in my mind, all of sports. That's how good Howie Roseman is. And I don't think it's too early to think about the dynasty word. Hugh does referencing, you know, some of the idea of, are these all guys going to be rowing in the same direction next year? And A.J. Brown's...
Got to row in the same direction.
You have to. Instagram post, which was different, but typical of A.J. All right. So D, I think today stands for dynasty, but in some places it stands for delusion. So Dak Prescott, doing a great thing yesterday. He was at a children's cancer fund raising money, but they put a microphone in front of him and asked him about the Eagles winning. And of course, Dak's going to answer and give a take on it. So here's Dak Prescott yesterday, and this word is what you call delusion.
Eagles just did. How far are you guys away from that level?
I mean, I feel like we compete with the Eagles and beat them for the most part when we played them. I don't want to say check the record when they're the guys holding the trophy right now. So credit to them. They've earned and they deserved it by all means. But, yeah, very close. Especially even watch the NFC game, the NFC Championship. And those two teams that we battle against each and every year a couple of times. And, as I said, feel confident about we've gotten the better part each and every time. To see it in such a dominating fashion, credit to them. It's our turn and it's on us.
I don't know what my favorite part of that is, Hugh. It's our turn, it's on us, or him saying, like, we kind of beat them all the time, even though...
Live your truth, Dak. Live your truth, Dakota. You know what's funny? And I know Petty Monday's over.
It's Wednesday now.
It's Wednesday. I mean, I can always do Petty Wednesday, but I thought about his brother. I don't know his brother's name, but I remember his brother. And I almost went on the Instagram and the social media last night. I almost went looking for him. Because I remember one time he was talking about Jalen Hurts and he called him a glorified running back.
Mm.
And I wanted, you know, it's a lot. I go on there and I want to be petty, but I don't, you know, I don't want
to
put it out there. I'm trying to be a grown up in this thing. But I wanted to say, dog, how do you feel that glorified quarterback got a Super Bowl ring and your brother doesn't?
Super Bowl MVP, too.
Yes, yes.
As a quarterback.
Yes. Dakota can believe what he wants to believe. You know, because that's what belief is. You know, believing that you could do something that nobody else believes you could do. I'm not saying that they can't do it, but boy, that's a hard road to hoe.
You have got to be smoking something.
Yeah, it's a hard road to hoe, man.
The part that's most ironic is he's talking about doing great things. Dakota and the whole, they're going to be lost in this. Like, they're not even a fly on the wall of the conversation in this era. Like, think about it. It's the Eagles. It's the Chiefs. And then you think about the other great quarterbacks that are kind of close, right? The Lamars, the Allens.
I thought we were going to stay in the division. It's the Eagles.
It's Jaden.
It's the Commodores, the commodities.
They're about to come on now, yeah.
And it's probably – and it's a toss-up between the Cowboys and the Giants, to be honest, at the bottom of the division.
They're just,
come on, bro.
They're in like when next year starts, when we rev up next season – they're not even in the conversation. I mean, what is he talking about? Like, I know he's not going to be honest, but like when I just think of the NFC next year, it's the Eagles, it's Detroit, it'll be Green Bay again, it'll be Washington, it'll be probably San Francisco bouncing back. Like, I have to like spend an hour before I even think about the Cowboys. He's nuts.
The check the record thing was crazy
nuts.
In its own right. But like, I think the most poetic thing about the whole thing is that he's talking about two teams in the NFC Championship game, a game that the Cowboys haven't been to in 30 years.
Since VCRs was hot.
The one team that was behind them in that, the Commanders,
yeah, they're there now,
got drafted a quarterback and immediately went to the NFC Championship game. Like, it makes him look way worse.
I could probably name 12 NFC teams that I think have a better chance than they do. I mean, 12, and with the Eagles at the top. It's a different D word. It's total delusion. 215-592-9494. Is it too early to start thinking about a dynasty? I don't think it is. Hugh is trying to, he's trying to keep us like grounded here
today.
Well,
it's not so much I'm trying to keep you grounded. It's just, the way I look at it.
Because, just not a real Eagles fan, you know?
No, because you know what's funny? Yeah, that
who was
right
our
there.
Caller the other day?
It was Cunningham.
Cunningham. Yeah. Like, they'll win every
classic.
Game.
No.
Always. Every
yeah.
game. Super Bowls every year.
And if you don't think so, not a real fan.
That was funny.
That's crazy.
Let's go to Chuck in Mount Airy. Hey, Chuck.
What up, Joe? What's going on? What up, Hugh?
What's up,
hey,
man?
Chuck.
The great 48 hours. great 48 hours, man. I can't wait to the Super Bowl parade on Friday. Hey, Joe, that was a blowout, wasn't it? Wasn't that a good game?
It was stomping. I mean, from the moment that game started, Chuck, it took me like a quarter and a half. When Coop returned the interception, I sat there. I was like, it's over. Like, they are dominating the team that people thought they couldn't dominate. It was awesome.
Yeah, that hit that that Milton Williams and Jalen Carter. I thought he was dead after that. And I thought he got folded like a chair. You know what I mean?
But, he did.
Yeah, listen, we called it, Joe. We felt it in our guts. People tried to talk us out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew it wasn't going to be close. You know, this team, you know, the Chiefs walked on that field like they was, you know, going to be given that three-peat. We walked on that field, and they didn't know what hit them. And I just felt that in my soul, man. So, man, hats off to the Eagles. Great, great job, man. Do I see a dynasty? No, I see a repeat. You know, I don't know what dynasty is. I mean, I know, but I know I think we can definitely go back next year and win it again next year with this team the way it's constructed.
Yeah, I think they can. But, Chuck, they remind me in a lot of ways between Jalen and the defense. But, they remind me of that Seahawks team about 10 years ago that got to the back-to-back, and if it wasn't for the interception in the end zone, they would have won. But I would not be surprised at all if we're doing this again next February. Same thing.
Yeah, but this A.J. Brown thing, you know, A.J. is a malcontent. This thing is... It's really starting to, you know, it's hitting the surface. And, you know, AJ calls himself a, you know, good guy and a team guy, but he's not selfless, man. You know, he just won a Super Bowl. And everybody, you know, the Chiefs, the Patriots, those teams that always went back, they always was on one accord. They were all equally yoked. You can't have this, man. And I understand, and I love AJ. He's a terrific player. But he's a player that'll never be satisfied. Because I don't know what it is with him, man. I don't know if it's a mental thing, a jealousy thing. I don't know what it is, man. See, Saquon Barkley didn't affect the game physically on Sunday. Not much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the ghost of Saquon Barkley that affected the game. And he was okay with that. You know, they had prepared for Saquon all week. You know, and come to find out, they stopped him. But it was other players that killed the Chiefs. So it was the ghost of Saquon that allowed the Eagles to do what they was able to do. AJ, for you to say you didn't feel part of the team, I didn't quite hear the tweet. I just heard you guys talking about it. It's just ridiculous to me, man. I love AJ Brown. I think he's a terrific player. He's my favorite wide receiver in football. But you can't win when you have a play in the locker room like that. You just can't. So something has to give, man. And I called this before the Super Bowl even came around. I said if they lost, one of those two guys are going to be a Jalen or AJ Brown. I thought if they won the Super Bowl, maybe they would be able to sweep this under the rug. I see it start to surface again because one player just wants to have individual stats, which I understand, but championships is not going to satisfy a guy like that until later in life, until later in his career when you look back and say, you know what, I was really fortunate to be on a football team like this. But do I see a team repeating? Yeah, if they all on the same accord.
Well, that's the big thing.
This.
Yeah, and Chuck, good phone call, man, Chuck, as always. So I'll read through the Instagram again that Hugh had referenced earlier in the show in case, you know, you've heard us talk about it, but you're like, what are they saying? So A.J. Brown put up a post last night, and I'll read the whole thing just so you have context, okay? Quote, after a few days, I've had time to reflect on being a champion. I tried to feel how everyone made it seem to be a champion, and unfortunately, it was short-lived. 2 days to be exact, LOL. I've never been a champion at the highest level before, but I thought my hard work would be justified by winning it all. It wasn't. My thrill for this game comes from when I dominate. It's the hunt that does it for me. It's when the DB drops his head in surrender because he can't F with me. The intense battles, early mornings, late nights, sacrifice. I love putting smiles on people's faces. Don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't what I thought it would be. It's the journey that I love most, back to work. So you could interpret that any way. For me, I think AJ realized it's something called the arrival fallacy. I think he thought he was driven by winning, and I think he now realizes that isn't really his why. His why is dominating, and that's okay. I mean, look, he helped them win by having that kind of perspective. But look, so Chuck said they can't win like this, or they already did. They did win with him, mm-hmm. and he's a great player. But the question is, can Sirianni and Howie and Jalen get them all on the same page again? Because that's how dynasties are won. It's not just talent. Like, every team that wins a Super Bowl, Hugh, theoretically can win the next one and the one after that, right? They're loaded. And
yeah.
There's no bad teams that win Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But it's all doing it again and rowing in the
you
same
have
direction.
To be, you have to be locked in, man.
Yeah.
And you can't be divisive. You can't. And I'm not saying he is, but he controls the narrative in this situation. And the narrative right now is because of things that have happened in the past, that he's a little bit of a malcontent. You know, we know AJ is wired different. And we know that he's very high, he's highly emotional. And ain't nothing wrong with that. But when you leave because of who you are and how you're perceived, you leave a lot for interpretation. And I just feel like this was not the time for you to share that feeling on social media.
So don't you think, like, because I'm reading this whole thing again, if he had literally left out this one sentence, the when I dominate thing? Yeah, the my thrill for this game comes when I dominate. If he left that out, the entire post is, I think, to be interpreted by everybody in the way that he just is ready to get back to work and he likes the journey rather than the destination. I just think it was a mistake for him to put that part in.
It's not a mistake, Kyle.
Well, I think it was.
Kyle,
I really
listen,
do.
This is the one thing that we have to stop doing is making excuses for grown-ass folks who've been in this situation before that know what his voice and his power has. A.J. Brown, he hasn't been in this situation. Didn't he call in to Ike and those guys a year ago?
Yeah.
Trying to defend his position?
No, right,
because he was misinterpreted?
But that's sort of, yeah, well, that's where
how
I'm coming from. He felt that he was misinterpreted.
If I say something, it has a chance to be misinterpreted. How many times do I have to write something out before I stop doing it?
Okay, but Hugh, you're a smart guy, and you're wiser.
And so he's
because
dumb?
In your old age, I'm not saying he's dumb. I'm saying sometimes he makes mistakes.
I caught that, Joe. He hit me with the old man.
Well, is it not true? Hugh, you were a different person when you were younger.
Let me clean it up. You've matured.
Yeah, like come on.
I cannot argue.
Okay,
that.
He's my AJ Brown is younger than me.
But
you think I get emotional back here?
Yes, you do.
Let me slice this down the middle though. I do give a little bit more leeway when it's...
I appreciate him calling me old.
No, that was great. I give a little more leeway in a press conference or when a microphone's in front of you, because we do this every day. Sometimes things come out a little bit differently than I mean them. Or maybe I'll come across stronger than I want to. Like it happens, right? We talk every day. We have a microphone in front of us. It's live. So sometimes I let a player have a little bit of like...
Grace. You give him grace.
He typed that.
That's what I'm saying.
And he hit send. Like, and guess what? There's also an edit button. There's also a delete button. I'm not mad that he said it. I think he's being honest.
It is his truth, but...
You did say it about the truth.
It's his truth.
It's his truth.
But you leave it open to interpretation.
Well, and he makes you wonder, are they able to get everyone again next year and do it again? I think they can, and I think they're set up, but this is certainly part of the whole conversation.
Yeah, and to be fair, I've had a lot of people that have chimed in, and they feel the way that you feel, Kyle. It's like, well, everybody reads it differently. But there's a lot of people that feel the same way that you feel. My thing is this. There's a time and a place for everything.
Mm.
And you have to be able to read the room. There's a lot of times, and you've seen it, Joe, on my face, where I want to say certain things, and I'm like, yeah, I might not land that plane the way that I think I'm going to land.
And then you realize you're old now and you're back off.
Yeah. And then, you know, me being as old as I am and Kyle not being as so much younger than me, that kind of kicks in too. He called me old on the air, dog. He called me old people on the air.
Yeah.
He's like, because you're just old.
I mean, I don't know if you realize how old you were until today, but you're old, man. Let's go to RC and Glenn Mills. What's up, RC?
All right, we ain't going to long talk this, man. You're an old soul. You ain't old, but he did call you old folks on this.
He called me old, dog.
Yeah, I mean, basically, Hugh got called Pop-Up Douglas on the air today. It happened.
I fall asleep when I go out.
I listen to you guys a lot because of my job, but I usually call in to rip Spike and his stance on Jalen. I call those guys because Spike is crazy with his stance on Jalen. But here's what I want to say to you, Hugh. And Joe, it was 10 hours ago, AJ's post, correct?
Mm-hmm.
10 hours ago.
Yeah.
What happened yesterday that AJ is, he's a wide receiver. I'm not saying they're all divas, but he wants to be coddled. He wants to be celebrated. He wants people's arms around him, telling him how great he is.
What wasn't he a part of yesterday?
Jimmy Fallon.
You know, RC, I didn't think about that. You're right.
I did, but I didn't put it out there.
No, you're right, because Jalen and Saquon were there. And,
I did.
And RC, I think if we
and
could,
the O-line.
And the O-line. Like, if AJ had 150 yards receiving, he's probably invited.
Correct. But he and Devontae did their job. They're probably the best wide receiver combo in the league. But they weren't – he's not celebrated. Devontae is a quiet – late. The man was crying after his touchdown on the sideline. AJ is that alpha male wide receiver that this league is used to having. And he didn't get celebrated. But if you really read the post, it's like a roller coaster. Like Kyle said, oh, if you take out one line, well, if you take out another line, Kyle, it looks this way. And it was all about that. And the Josh Sweat thing, hey, you, we ain't going to long talk, but Josh Sweat trying to get paid.
No, yeah. I caught that. That's why, you know what, to be honest, RC, that's why he ain't catching that much heat, because he probably won't be here. He going to get that bread.
He ain't going to be here. We going to get Miles Garrett. Sweat's going to go get, what, 30 million you, 40 million?
Yeah, he about to get paid, though. He about to get paid. He going to probably be playing in Cleveland or something like that. Yeah, oh, he might go to Houston. He might go to the Texans.
Sure.
Yeah, and the dynasty thing, Joe, the dynasty thing, okay? Here's the difference, and here's what we are dealing with, because you've called him the greatest best general manager in sports, mm-hmm. not just in football.
Yep.
Here's what we're dealing with, okay? Let's think about the last two dynasties. They talked about Brady. They talked about Belichick. They talked about Gronk. They talked about Brewski. Four guys, no offensive line, no defensive line. Then you go to Kansas City. It's Travis. It's Mahomes. It's Andy. We are dealing with a team. Go ahead and pick somebody. Put all their names in a hat. You, Kyle, Joe. Could we celebrate every single person on this team? Are they the most dominant and most talented team in the NFL by far? We got superstars, guys.
Yeah,
we
all and all everywhere. And you're right. It's all over. It's not just one guy. And Howie is so good at smoothing those cap numbers out. RC, we appreciate that. They're going to keep a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
The fact that we can even entertain the idea they will trade for Myles Garrett shows how good Howie is. Because typically, if you have this many good players, I feel like other teams would be like, well, they don't have the cap space, right? Like,
yeah, they don't have the money. They can't make the move.
They paid a quarterback. They paid two receivers. They have this. Like, they paid a running back. They paid the O-line. There's no way they could actually go and get Myles Garrett. I think there's a real chance they get Myles Garrett. Now, I'm not saying it's a lock. Other teams might outbid them. Whatever. We'll see what happens.
But it's not out of the realm of possibility when it comes to Howie.
I would give it a decent shot they get Myles Garrett. A decent shot. I mean, that tells you how good Howie is, because most champions, like, they're maxed out with cap space.
So we're basically just going to be the Dodgers of the NFL when we do that.
That sounds good to me. I mean, like, that team, if we're anything close to Dodgers of the NFL, that means we're going back to more of these very, very soon. And look, the Dodgers might be becoming a dynasty. Hopefully not, but they could be. Ken and Cinnaminson. What's up, Ken?
Good morning, Joe. And how are you today?
Hey, Ken.
What's going on, Ken?
So first of all, because there's a lot to unpack here, they're already the Dodgers of the NFL. They make the playoffs every year. So, I mean, you can't win the Super Bowl without making the playoffs. They make the playoffs every year.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Sweat's not going to be here next year, so I don't really worry too much about that. And this whole notion, like, so many people on WIP and in the local media and even in the national media spent the last 7 or 8 weeks of the season this year looking for the evidence that this is where the collapse that happened last year, this is where it starts. And it started with AJ with the passing game, but there was all kinds of stuff where people were saying, see, here it comes. And it did. So here's the bottom line with AJ. I think you have to, first of all, you have to recognize that Jalen Hurts, Nick Sirianni in particular, they know what's in AJ's heart. We don't, right? They know him better than we do. And, you know, Nick Sirianni is a master at managing these egos. I mean, just look at the Super Bowl. Look at the game itself. Where, you know, 1 minute they show a little clip of him, you know, screaming back at AJ when he's coming off the field on the incompletion on the blitz, and then 5 minutes later they show him yucking it up and hugging it up with AJ on the sidelines after AJ caught his touchdown pass, and he's got, oh, by the way, he's got inner excellence in his hands. So
there's a reason why a guy like A.J. Brown feels like he needs to carry inner excellence around with him on the sidelines, and it's stuff like that post from last night. The most important words in that post are, time to get back to work. And I think you would want to hear that. And I feel actually really good about the fact that you've got your star wide receiver saying, look, I thought my hunger was going to be satisfied when I got my hands on that Vince Lombardi trophy, and I'm still starving. It didn't do anything for me. It was like eating Chinese food. I'm hungry an hour later. So I have no problem with it whatsoever. And we've got to get over this, the PTSD of what happened at the end of 2023, to the point where we're always afraid that that's right around the corner. Like, I use it as an example. My parents were both born and grew up during the Depression. So regardless of how financially secure my parents got as they grew into their adulthood and went on with their lives, and they got very, very financially secure, my mother was always convinced that abject poverty was right around the corner because of the fact that all of her experiences as a child were colored by the Depression. That's the impact that 2023 collapse is going to have on an entire generation of Eagles fans, that no matter how good things are, there's disaster right around the corner.
But Ken, let me interject just a little bit, because I remember a quote that said, if you forget about the past, you're doomed to repeat it. So and I know you were talking about your mother, and is it safe to say because she felt that way, you never had to worry about poverty again?
Absolutely.
So you know what? I think that she was on to something, because you know what? I'm the same way. I grew up broke, and you might call me cheap, but I'd be damned if I'd be broke again. So I don't think that that's a bad thing. I hear what you're saying, and you know, we got PTSD and all the other stuff, but isn't it better to, if you see something coming, to try to avoid it as best you possibly can?
I think his analogy was interesting. Your response is interesting. I also think there's something to not just 23, the dynasty conversation and all this. Let's be real. And I mentioned yesterday, I heard it on the morning show, and we repeated on our show yesterday. Fandom in this city, people aren't used to this. Like, if the Eagles become the next dynasty, it's not normal. Right, like we realized yesterday, four players in this city in 50 years have gotten a chance to win two rings.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this kind of stuff doesn't happen around here very often, right? This isn't the New England area where they had parade after parade. So, mm-hmm. Like dealing with and thinking through dynasty and the pitfalls, it's not normal. So we got to get used to it if it even is going to happen. 215-592-9494. We'll keep taking your phone calls all day on this. Hugh is telling me to slow my roll a little bit here with all the D talk. I'm saying no. I think it's okay to talk about a dynasty. I don't think it's too early to talk about it. You can react to A.J. Brown's post and your interpretation. Remember, B-Doc, Brian Dawkins joins us at 12:15, and we have to play a funny clip from Nick Wright and who confronted him about one of his Eagles takes. That's next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Taste Cake has a treat for every John. They got peanut butter fans' favorite in candy cakes, the chocolate-coated cakes with a creamy layer of peanut butter inside. If you like the simple classic, they have the crimpets. They are light sponge cake topped with rich icing. Donut lovers, they have choices for days. You got frosted mini donuts, you got powdered mini donuts, and you can't forget the delicious dipping stick flavors. I mean, there are so many unique, satisfying treats to choose from, but that's no surprise because it's Tasty Cake. Accept no substitutes.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties. Buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.